Join me back in Psalm 119 this morning, the second part of Psalm 119, and to continue from last week. A whole lot of ground to cover today. We'll see as the Lord allows us time. You remember last week, and we'll return a little bit to this idea this week of the wonderful nature of God's Word. You remember last week, Psalm 119, we looked at the wonderful nature of God's Word. And we'll return to this portion again today, because any time you think about changing and growing and the nature of God's Word, God always hooks the blessing to it, doesn't He? And I think that's a common misconception in the world that, oh, do this, do that, God's rules are hard. And it's really God's rules are right. That's the point. And there's blessing involved in doing things God's way. And Psalm 119, 1 to 8, to me, it sets up the whole psalm. It sets it up. Here's the ground we're going to cover. Here's where we're going to go. And it gives us this preemptive blessing. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. They do no wrong. It gives us this idea that Psalm 119 is going to unpack for us in just very wonderful and poetic ways throughout the psalm. Did Psalm 119 need to be 175 verses? Well, obviously, yes. Right? We could have said all that in a shorter time. No, it's wonderful. It's poetic. It leads us into the glory of God's Word, and so helpful. Wonderful passage of Scripture. Today's text is the next 8 verses. So follow along as I read, and we're going to talk about how God's Word, generally we're going to talk about how God's Word affects change in the life of a Christian. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimony I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Wow, what an awesome passage. Pray with me as we ask God's blessing on the reading of his word. Thank you, God, so much for this awesome passage of Scripture and the privilege to open it up today and to speak to your people. And thank you for the faithful that just come every week to hear from you and to be edified and helped. And I just pray that you would do just that. Have your word fulfill the purpose that you have sent it for. We know you've promised that, and you will. And please forgive the weakness of the vessel. Use your word nevertheless to change your people and to really give us insight and clarity and wisdom and all those kind of things that we desperately need in this world. God, we love you. We want to know you more, and we know we do that through your word. That's our prayer as we study, that we would know you more at the end of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you notice this comes to us as a question. It could have been phrased as a statement. Here's how a young man cleanses his way. But what we receive here is this. The psalmist is expressing this beautiful psalm. And early on, after the summary beginning, early on, he says, it's a question, how can a young man cleanse his way? It's a question that we should all, how can a young man keep his way pure? New King James, how can a young man cleanse his way? It's a question we should all be asking. It's an important question, isn't it? What can I do to have a pure way? What can I do to be righteous? And, you know, think about how critically important some of these ideas are. You go out into the world, you're going to get a million, 100, whatever you want to say, many various opinions on what right is. What is right anyway? What's life about? You're going to get opinions on all that. What's right? What's wrong? And since the world is currently, probably always has been, we see it more clearly now, since the world is currently flipped on its head, if you ask someone what's right and what's wrong today, you're going to get the opposite answer of what is true, right? And you can just look in any area of life, you're going to find that, you know, I don't care what it is, relationships, work ethic, money, all of those kind of things. And one of the things that's been, in a sense, I already knew, but just reminding me and eye-opening is being back out with more often with people that don't know the Lord now, how much emphasis everyone puts on money. It's like it is the central thing of the entire world. And I knew that. You see it in the culture and in everything. But to hear it from everyone's mouth, it's just like money is their driving force in life. And all I can think of is how sad. Because money will never do for you what you think it's going to do. Ever. And it'll let you down, right? Now, do we need money in America? Yeah, right? Can't go to the grocery store and just pick up a steak, right? You got to have money. But is it the point of your life? How sad if it is. How sad. How can a young man keep his way pure? You're going to find all kinds of ideas in the world. You're going to have all kinds of opinions. But we need to get this one. And so this psalm, this part of the psalm starts out this way. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it. Guard it. You're not going to, you know, you don't, holiness doesn't come on us passively, does it? Right? You know, you don't just sort of bounce through life and do your own thing and then all of a sudden you're pure. I don't know if you're, well, I do know actually, I just want to say it that way, but I don't know if you're like me, but passivity does not increase godliness. Actually, I do know about you as well because we're all humans, right? You don't just wake up one day more holy. It takes work. And you have to guard it. Think about it. How foolish would it be for someone in the military to go out and go into battle and just have no care about their own safety and not guard at all, just like, I'm just going to go right on over there. It'll be all right. That person's dead, right? We're in a battle here. We are in a war zone. And we have very real enemies. You have to guard your heart. You are bombarded constantly with ungodly ideas. And hear this today. Impure ideas. Impure desires and draws. And an impure mindset that's pushed on you from the world, the devil, and your own flesh. You have to guard your heart. You have to be on guard. If you're not, you're setting yourself up for disaster. If you want to be pure, guard your heart. Now, what does that even mean? Guard your heart, right? You know, get a big knife and just hold it right here. Hey, back off, right? That's guarding your heart. Well, the heart is the inner person, right? The inner man. And how do you guard it? According to your word. You have to guard your heart according to God's word. Everything that comes into your life, into your inner person, everything that wants a place in your life, everything that wants to influence you, has to be run through the grid of, is this right according to God's word? Is it true? Has God's word spoken to this? The answer is yes. What does he say about it? Guard your heart according, how do you make your way pure? By guarding your heart according to God's word. By taking ownership of your own life, your own and responsibility of your own actions and your own thoughts, and running every one of those through the mesh of God's word. Does that sound exhausting? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. War is hard. War is hard. And man, we're going to get bombarded. Hey, take up the shield. Why? The devil's throwing darts at you. Fiery darts. That's hard right there, ain't it? Right? You see? War is hard. There is an evil agenda in this world. Always has been. Satan and his minions, the world system, want to see you destroyed. And they love it if you would stop guarding your heart and get passive. Guard your heart. You have to. True change happens by God's word. You have to use it as a protection for yourself, and that's the only way, that's the only pathway of purity. The emphasis is on your inner person. With my whole heart, I seek you. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. the whole heart, all of who you are. It's talking about a direction and dedication of life. My entire being, I seek the Lord. God, don't let me wander from your commandments. Don't let me get off on some sidetrack and tangent in life where I forget and I'm stopped guarding my own heart. Real lasting change is also heart change. The heart is mentioned 14 times in the psalm, the inner person. And heart change is turning you from sin and to God. I have stored your word in my heart that I might not sin. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. And I love this. As you think about it, I'm thinking of my own ways and I'm going through life. My heart is being influenced. And I start to think, I need to turn myself to your testimonies. Repentance is in view here, right? We would all have to admit that. When I think on my ways, my own way, my natural way is not to go the way of the Lord. It's not. My natural way is to do my own thing. And hear this, it's very easy to be a societally acceptable sinner. You're not a bad person, you go to work, you don't beat your kids, you're easy to get along with, but you still have your own ways. You have your own heart. You want what you want. And the psalmist is saying, no, when I think of my ways, no. I turn myself to follow the Lord by his word. I hasten and do not delay to keep your testimonies. I get after it, right? God's righteousness is in view here. Let's see where we're at. That's life God's way. God's righteousness is in view. May my heart be blameless in your statutes that I may not be put to shame. True wisdom. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies that's ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Everybody in junior high always thinks that anyway, right? I have more understanding than all my teachers. But what he's saying there is, it doesn't matter what's being taught. I know God's word. I have understanding because I know God's word. Your testimonies are my meditation. You get real wisdom. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He knows how to live life. He knows what is really true in this crazy world. And isn't the illustration there just a person who in this world of darkness and deception and lies and crazy ideas and thoughts, and this person is going through life, and there's this halo of light around the person, and they're on the right path. It's difficult. It's narrow. But because they have illumination, because God is leading them, because God is laying the path for them, they know how to live. And that's what the psalmist is saying. And that leads to a life of purity. How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed or guarding it according to your word. It's a guiding in life. So the question is answered. Guard your heart according to God's word, taking heed. How do you do that? The psalm kind of lays out a few things for us. First, being a student of God's word. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. This appears in Psalm 119 10 different times. Teach me your statutes, or a variant of that. This is a heart that seeks God and seeks God's word, wants God to teach them. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Teach me good judgments and knowledge. I believe in your commandments. Meditating on God's word, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. And this is the idea of mulling it over. You run God's word through your mind throughout the day. You think on it. Maybe a life situation appears to you and it's something, that reminds me of. And God's word comes to your mind and you think it over. I wonder if that means, and you think, you chew on it, you mull it over. It's an active meditation, not an Eastern type empty your mind thing. Memorizing it. As a student of God's word, we memorize God's word. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word actually is inside of you. You have it to draw on, and it's part of you. Part of being a student of God's word is to make a plan, have a plan. Again, like we said, you guard according to God's word. It's active. It's not passive. And if you go through life sort of bouncing, you're not going to be a student of God's word. If you have no plan, you won't do it. It's too easy. And I think, I don't know, because I haven't lived in other parts of the world, but I think that in America, it's particularly easy to be distracted. We have so many distractions, and life is so passive here. And by the way, hasn't in our lifetime, hasn't the shift of all of culture shifted to that? Everybody wants to be passive now, at least the people I know. It seems like the number one goal in life of the younger generation is to not work, just to be passive, and just to do what? I don't know if it's my generation or how I was taught or just the way I'm wired. That would drive me nuts. I hate that. I hate that life. If you don't have nothing to do, that is boring, right? You know the worst work shift to me ever where there's nothing to do. And that's what everybody wants. They just want to stand around. Give me something to do. Right? I don't want to stand here. This is boring. That's been shifted to that. And I think that's affecting us, isn't it? Because we're not active. And it's easy for the enemy to work on us when we're not active, when we're not diligent students, where we're involved. I want to learn. I want to follow God. I seek you with my whole heart. I have stored up your word in my heart. It's an active process. If I took God's word and I've stored it in my heart so that I have it to use. Make a plan. What's your Bible reading plan? Do you have a Bible reading plan? How much of it are you planning? You could go with the Proverbs one where you read one proverb a day, or you can so easily acquire just a plan. Read this much of the Bible through the New Testament in a year Bible. You can read through the entire Bible in a year. Plan. You can start in the Psalms and maybe you read a psalm every day, or maybe you just have a plan to read 10 verses out of a gospel every day. The point is this: have a plan, right? Have a plan. Because if you have a plan, you have self-accountability. Did I read my Bible today? Now, I got that on my phone. I don't have it on me. It's in my office, but I look on the app, and if it's August 20th and my app says August 18th, oh, blew that one. Right? I go back and read them both. Okay? Have a plan. Study, memorize, use notes. Study means you're taking notes and memorize God's word. Be a student. Keeping God's word then equally as important. It's not enough to just know God's word, but you have to actually put it into practice. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Many people know the Bible, and certainly most of us know enough, and many quote-unquote students of the word, scholars, things like that, but they don't do anything with it. It doesn't affect their lives. There are people out there that have memorized giant chunks of the Bible, and they don't know the Lord. How sad is that? You have to actually keep the word of God. It's not enough just to know about it. It's actually the opposite. It's actually foolish to know God's word and not do it. And Jesus taught us that in a parable. And he said that the person who hears these words of mine and does not keep them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Right? He just did the dumbest thing in the world. Built a house with no foundation. Storms came up. House fell down because there was no way for it to stand. That's how life is illustrated there. You got to keep it. You got to put it into practice. Those who hear these words of mine and keep them are like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Storms came up, winds blew, and the house didn't fall. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who do no wrong, but walk, their daily walk, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Wow. Remember that? The blessing, the commandment, right? You see, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. So it's a commandment. You have to keep God's word. It's silliness, actually, isn't it, right? A good question always in Christian life is, do you parent that way, right? You know, you say, your kids know your will 100%. They know everything you want them to do, but they don't do one thing of it, right? They don't do none of it. Are you okay with that? They got to actually do what you said at some point, right? To be successful. Same way with God. We have to actually do what God says. Be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. If anyone is like a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. He looks at himself and goes away and wants to forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Jesus said that, didn't he? Here, my brothers and sisters, they're the ones who hear and keep God's word. More than just hearing. Taking heed appears 9 times in Psalm 119, and I will not forget your word 16 times in Psalm 119. Obedience builds obedience. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Obedience builds obedience. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You have the lifestyle of obedience, you gain more obedience as a result. Delighting in God's word, then. Being a student, how do you keep your way pure? Being a student of God's word, obeying or keeping God's word, putting it into practice, delighting in God's word. These aren't in any particular order, by the way. And I haven't figured that out in life yet either, by the way. If you ever figure it out, let me know. Does delighting in God's word precede keeping, or does keeping God's word precede delighting? It's hard to say, isn't it? It's probably different for each one of us too, isn't it? But isn't it always a good place to start by training yourself to delight in God's word? And sometimes that takes work. Sometimes it comes natural. Hopefully it becomes more natural for us as we age in Christ, as we spend more time with him. But hear this just sort of as a soft and heartfelt admonition. If you don't delight in God's word currently, that's a red warning flag right there, a red light blinking. And you need to really pray about that and just ask God to help you with it, maybe even get some help, because God's people love his word. We love his word. And so delight in it. And which comes first, I don't know. Faith comes by hearing. So maybe for you, delighting in God's word would be preceded by getting into the word, right, and learning it and making commitment, and then the delight will come. To me, God is after our hearts, so work on delighting on it at the same time. You know, you want to seek God because you love him. Very quickly, for this part, notice what it says. Notice the language here. I rejoice. I delight. I delight in your statutes. My soul is consumed with longing. I cling to your testimonies. I long for your precepts. I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. I will never forget your precepts. By them you have given me life. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Uphold me according to your promise that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I'd rather have somebody come and explain God's word to me than give me a $10 bill. Huh? All right? That gets you right where you live, don't it? I delight as much as in all riches. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. I want it more than a lottery ticket. Huh? Isn't that what he's saying? In gold and all and silver pieces, thousands of gold and silver pieces. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. God's word is your comfort, it is your delight, it is your hope. It's better than material wealth. It gives us freedom. It keeps you up at night. Don't you love that one? My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. I'm just kept awake at night by God's word. It's so compelling to me and so wonderful to me. I cannot help but meditate on it and think about it. keeps you up. God's word was the joy and delight of the psalmist, amen? Not hard to see, is it? And I think that's just something definitely that I would say that is one of God's goals for us as Christians. Because God desires our heart, and he wants to turn our hearts to him. How do we know him? We know him through his word. You know, did the psalmist really delight in God's word just because he likes God's word? No. The psalmist delights in God's word because in God's word he finds God. Do you see that? God is in his word. God is communicated through his word. The knowledge of God is communicated through his word. And so the psalmist, of course, delights in that word. That word leads him into a deeper relationship with the Creator. And so the psalmist, of course, is compelled, and it wakes him up at night. I get up in the middle of the night, and I'm thinking, man, wow, think about who God is. And it's hard to sleep because of that. God's word is power to change you. Change is part of Christianity. We follow Jesus, we emulate him, and so we become like him. Change is part of Christianity. We are fallen, we are sinners. Christ is perfect. We become, we follow, we change. Jesus is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word became flesh, right? And so since he is called the Word of God, then we use his Word. And we obey his Word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my Word. My Father will love him, will come to him, and we will make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. God's people, change comes to God's people through his word, and we love him, we follow him, God works. That's how change happens. We obey God's word. Even the very same area there, the Holy Spirit uses the word of God. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Now, some of you older folks have told me that's difficult for you to memorize parts of the Bible, all right? You've told your pastor that. That's fine to tell me that. Difficult, I can accept, but when you start to tell me you can't do it, I have questions. Because God says that his Holy Spirit will help you remember. Huh? Maybe that's the first one you memorize right there. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit of God helps you remember, okay? So ask God, right? Ask him, God, it's hard for me. I'm old. You know, the older you get, things don't get easier in the memory area, do they? They don't. It's hard. And but we lose a step, but the Holy Spirit will help you work on it and ask God to help you remember those things and to work in your life. We really don't have an excuse. God'll help us. God has given us objective standards for life. Righteousness means that which is right, and God's word is the objective standard. The wicked and the righteous are contrasted based on keeping God's word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffer. His delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. Its leaf doesn't wither. All that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Notice that? The standard is God's word, and it's based on whether the person is righteous, whether they keep God's word, the way of life, or whether they reject God's word. So, for Christians, we commit to live righteously. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. We keep God's word. We turn from sin to God. Again, as a reminder, we put off the old self. Put false ways far from me. Graciously teach me your law. We put off the old man. We work on it. We guard our hearts. We put on the new man. We accept, embrace, and follow God's word. And we let God conform us. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. God's word is the only thing that's going to change you. And people in the world will have success, right, for their own self-interest, right? I've met many people who are drunks, who haven't had a drink in 20 years or whatever. Well, it's killing them, right? Or people will stop a certain destructive behavior because it's in their own best interest. But real change is heart or inner person change, and that only happens when the Spirit of God takes the Word of God into your life and you yield and you apply those things and you change, and then God uses that and helps you. So conform, that's the biggest part of our responsibility, is just to conform. Put off, get involved with what God is doing. Put off your old self, be transformed, be renewed. Remember, see God's word is in view. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. Practice God's word. I am a companion of all those who fear your precepts. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Remember that sometimes God is going to use difficulties in your life. I don't like this one, do you? I think I might have scratched this one out of my Bible. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You're good and do good. Do you like that? I want comfortable. Nobody else but me wants comfortable. That's a hard pill sometimes. Man, you look back in some of the most difficult times in your life, and you say, wow, look what God did. I needed that. I've said that so many times in my life, I can't even count. Man, I needed that. That was tough, but I needed it. And we're in one of those seasons right now. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. That's the bent of our heart. I just did my own thing. But now, I keep your word. Affliction brought obedience into the life of the psalmist. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes God uses the hardest stuff in your life to get you right. And it happens. God does it. In my experience, I think that happens more often than not. You know, if God wants to get our attention, he uses hardship. We have it easy, he gives us hardship. God will work as we end, as we wrap up Psalm 119. God will work. He is faithful. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Notice how many times, as we've read today, that the psalmist is asking God to do something. Why? He trusts God to do something, right? God shows up. Our part in the Christian life is really yielding to the Spirit, yielding in obedience to God. So we have to know God through his word. We get into his word. We give the Spirit some tool to use, the word of God. We get in, and as God works and changes, we yield. And we cry out to him. We yield ourselves. We humble ourselves. God, change me. Help me. Keep steady. Notice the humility in the psalmist all through this. Keep steady my steps according to your promise. Let no iniquity get dominion over me. Implicit in that, isn't it? I have no way to keep iniquity out of myself. God, I need you. Don't let iniquity get dominion over me. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God will work. He uses his word. The word of God is living and sharp, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, and of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Wow. God's designed his word to work. He uses it. God will show up. God will work. And we'll close with this. All scripture is breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God has worked, hasn't he? He's already given us his word. God has worked, as we studied in our ABF today. God has sent his Holy Spirit. We saw that the Spirit show up in one portion today. God has sent his Spirit. God has worked in giving us Christ to die for our sins and to be with us now. God, of course, will work today if you draw near to him and if you dig into his word and let him change you. I meet a lot of people in life that need change. Actually, everyone I meet in life needs change, including myself. But I meet a lot of people who are looking for change. And if you're one of those people, dig into God's word as a starting place. Let God work. It can be hard, don't get me wrong. And sometimes I think that the things that we think need to change are not necessarily what God's going to do. Right? I need to change this. Well, God may change something else or work in a different way. But just be open to what God is doing. Dig into his word. Let him work. If you need help, grab another Christian. Help you walk through life in that difficulty. But in the end of the day, make sure that you give God's word its place in your life that it needs. No good thing is going to happen to you or in your life unless you're drawing near to God and you're using his word. And so let him work. Let's pray. God, thank you for this awesome reminder from Psalm 119. Just scratching the surface of Psalm 119 this time through feels sad to me, I guess. Such a beautiful psalm, so packed with rich truth. I can't speak for anybody but myself, but I think we would have to collectively ask for your forgiveness for our way too low view and use of your word in this world. God, forgive us, empower us, and help us, and renew our commitment to you through your word. As Baptists, we claim to be people of your word. May that always be true. And so, God, just use your word in our lives today, this week. Delight us in you through your word. Help us, God, as we draw near to you to understand your word well. And God, thank you so much for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.